And welcome to St. Louis on the Air. During these first hours of the new year, we thought we'd take a look at what may lie ahead for St. Louis and the region. This is no attempt to predict the future, but rather to see where current trends and plans are likely to take us. We'll also examine the loose ends left at the end of 2013, many of which will be prominent in the months ahead. I'm Don Marsh. Joining us a little bit later will be Jim McKelvey, the co-founder of Square, Inc. and founder of LaunchCode, also co-founder of the Third Degree Glass Factory here in St. Louis. He is a busy guy. Michael McMillan is president and CEO of the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis. He'll join us in a little bit. Terry Jones is with me in studio. He is the founder's professor of political science and public policy administration at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Also in studio is Jason Hall, vice president for business development and corporate counsel for the St. Louis Regional Chamber. Alex Enan is editor of NextSTL.com, which focuses on and advocates for issues important to St. Louis and the region. Also with us, Jason Rosenbaum, the innovation reporter for St. Louis Public Radio and The Beacon. He is also active in our political coverage. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice
to
have
you.
Thank you.
Terry Jones, I'll start with you, and I'll basically have the same question for each of you in the studio. As you look ahead to this year, 2014, what do you see? What do you see on the horizon?
I see 2013. A lot of the issues that were not settled then are going to resurface. How big a government, state government we should have, and how should we finance it, a Medicaid expansion, transportation, and the need to take a close look and repair our transportation infrastructure, and a special urgency to the transfer issue in K-12 education, since now it's a real issue, not a hypothetical one.
You're really focusing on legislative action, and we'll be talking about that with you again next week, by the way.
But the state is at the center of attention. I think all eyes are going to be on Jeff City.
All right. How about regionally? You're a guy that we've talked to many times about city-county cooperation. You see anything, any movement there?
There's a movement called Better Together, and it says it's just going to start a conversation and have some data. But clearly, it's an effort to have a reopening of the city's relationship with the St. Louis County. I think we'll be talking a lot about it. We talk a lot about it throughout our history. We'll continue to do so in 2014.
Okay. Alex Enan, let me turn to you. You're a multifaceted guy and look at many different issues. What are you looking at for 2014?
So some of the things that Terry mentioned, the Better Together effort and what comes out of that, like you said, they're starting to talk about things. And you know, what hampers our conversation so often is we just don't have the facts and the figures. I mean, it's, you know, if you ask anyone how many police departments there are in the region, you get a wide range of guesses, and it's not an easy answer to find. Same with school districts, fire districts, how many elected officials, this kind of thing is really under the radar. I mean, as much as we understand how divided we are, we don't have the facts and figures to go with it. So I'm hoping to see that's what Better Together does, and we'll have that conversation starting – well, they've started it, so we'll see that all year.
All right. Go ahead.
No, well, and he mentioned the State House thinking of the transportation funding. That's a huge regional issue in terms of the 1% potential sales tax. We have special sales taxes all over St. Louis region, and there are places that pay 12% already in a sales tax if you go out to eat or something like that. So the sales tax issue will be big. And then our site and myself will be following developments in the city. I mean, we currently have close to 2,000 residential units that will be under construction this year. We have a Mercedes dealership, a Whole Foods, probably a groundbreaking for an IKEA. These are all, kind of anecdotal things in terms of how the region and the city are doing, but they're big in St. Louis.
Jason Hall, did Alex steal some of your thunder there?
No, not at all. I as I look ahead to the year, I certainly see a region that has been, as we saw in 13, well positioned for growth. I think we came out of this recession very strong, where we saw those Midwestern the work ethic, the strengths, the fiscal discipline really pay dividends. And 2013 was a big year when you look at large expansion projects of historic nature that were across this region. And I think we'll see more of that going into 2014. I think we also saw a real turning point in a key area for growth for this region, which is entrepreneurship. And we'll be talking with Jim a bit later. But it was really a breakout year where publications and outlets around the world were saying, look at St. Louis as a startup community and really fostering that kind of growth.
There's been a lot of excitement over IKEA and Whole Foods. Do you think that excitement is being overplayed? I mean, how much can those two companies contribute to our economy?
Oh, I think the excitement around brands like that validating St. Louis go beyond the number of jobs they create, which no doubt are important. But I think it says something when brands like that come into the community from outside. I think we as St. Louisans say, you know, they value us and we're excited to be here. And so it's fun to get excited about that. But I'm also excited about, you know, Monsanto expanding with world-class research capabilities out in Chesterfield to the tune of $400 million, adding almost 700 new positions there, or Reinsurance Group of America building a new global headquarters to serve a growing industry, adding 300 jobs over there. GM investing over $500 million out in Wentzville, exceeding all expectations and adding thousands of new jobs, having ripple effects in auto suppliers in small communities throughout our region. So when I get excited, you know, I look at that and see a lot of jobs.
You didn't mention Boeing, and almost in a matter of hours, we're going to have a very clear indication from what I can determine as to whether or not we're going to get a big slice of that Boeing 777X pie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we've done very well with Boeing. I mean, over this last year alone, we were excited to win two projects there with over 1,000 jobs in the IT and engineering sector. Certainly, you know, we are competing, and we showed what I think is an important trend in competing for that project. I don't know what the outcome of that project is going to be yet. We're working very hard on it with all of our many partners in St. Louis. But what I think that project brought into the public's eye in a very real way is an important new fundamental in the St. Louis regional economy, and that is we are serious about collaboration now. I mean, that project could not have been done without the business community, labor, 2- and 4-year higher educational institutions, our business partners like Civic Progress, Regional Business Council, the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, and others. Everybody came together in this ultimate team sport and showed we can be nimble and we can be powerful in going after these once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. We compete to win.
Before I turn to Jason Rosenbaum, I just want to get Terry Jones' take on this whole Boeing thing and also Alex. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's in the land of the blind. You still have to compete. And so Boeing clearly holds the upper hand, and it's, quote, unquote, using us. That doesn't mean you can't not compete. I would like to echo, though, Jason's point. The process that we've used to compete in this situation is something that we were not doing 10, 20 years ago. And so we are much better organized on our economic development front, and that continues to improve each year, including the partnership now between the City of St. Louis and St. Louis County that was finalized in April.
I think quickly, you know, I would add that with the Boeing deal specifically, I mean, it's good to see people move and try to pursue these opportunities. What we're going to be following closely is the deal that the governor apparently made to investigate tax credits and the historic tax credits and the low-income housing tax credits that have benefited the City of St. Louis to an enormous degree are going to come under fire again this year. And it appears as though that was part of the deal made to get people lined up to pass this Boeing bill in short order. Was to reopen the tax credit debate. So we're going to be looking at that. The one thing I would agree with Jason is that, you know, we talk my site, the Next STL site, and myself, we talk a lot about the happenings, the news events, the IKEAs, the Whole Foods, and those are important for the City of St. Louis, but they are a symptom of the larger economy. So what he's talking about, you know, we have to add 5,000 jobs in Wentzville and 2,000 in Brentwood and 2,000 here to get things like that happening. So a lot of these things we talk about are symptoms of the larger kind of health of the community, but they're all positive signs.
Let me turn to Jason Rosenbaum now. You wear a couple of hats here. You do a lot of political coverage and also our innovative reporter. Put on your political hat for just a moment, because what we've been hearing indicates you're going to be a busy guy this year when it comes to legislative action.
I'm going to be milked for all I'm worth, I suppose. 2014 is an election year. I think some people may assume that it's not going to be an exciting one because there's not a major national election, no governor's race, no U.S. Senate race, not really many congressional races that are going to be competitive. But I think there actually will be several consequential elections, especially in the St. Louis area. The first one that comes to mind is the St. Louis County Executive's race. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley has been in office, I think, now for around 10 years. He's now being seriously challenged in the Democratic primary by Councilman Steve Stanger of Afton. And it's really one of his toughest challenges to date, Republican or Democrat, whether he holds on to that. And I think whoever ends up winning, especially if there's a changeover, that's going to impact St. Louis County government for years to come.
The primary election in that particular race is probably going to be the race.
It might. It really depends on who the Republicans put forward. Right now, Tony Pesosa, a Green Park alderman, has announced that he's going to run. I mean, if he gets the money available and if the certain circumstances occur, I mean, it's possible he could be viable. But St. Louis County is trending Democratic. It has been for years, if not decades. And even a strong Republican contender like Bill Corrigan didn't end up beating Charlie Dooley in a very good Republican year. So the Democratic primary may be decisive in that instance.
We'll come back to innovation in just a moment, but I want to get Terry Jones' take on what Jason has just said.
Well, it is going to be a very interesting race between the incumbent Charlie Dooley and Councilman Stenger. I don't think it has all that much policy consequences, though. I think the kinds of things that St. Louis County does now would be the same sorts of things, by and large, that would happen if Stenger becomes county executive, or for that matter, if a Republican became county executive. Partisan politics in terms of the ideological differences between the GOP and the Democrats don't play out at county level the same way they do at the national or state levels.
Okay. Now back to Jason Rosenbaum for the innovation hat that you have to put on for us now.
And I think that some of the innovation things are going to track with the national economy. I think you've seen over the last few weeks and months that, you know, unemployment is down nationally. The stock market has gone up. And St. Louis kind of follows the national economy as far as development and expansions go. So if the national economy continues to improve, and if, for example, that brings the real estate market kind of on the upward trajectory, you probably will see, you know, not only people buying more houses, but maybe more development in business centers such as downtown St. Louis, Clayton, Chesterfield, all those places which have become centralized locations for some of the region's biggest business. Jason already mentioned, you know, Reinsurance Group of America building its new headquarters in Chesterfield. That is obviously a big project. I've seen the cranes. They're very large. That's one example. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in, like, the center city in downtown St. Louis, which has been kind of watched over the last decade as far as a developmental petri dish of some sort. And if the economy is good, maybe there'll be more there.
Yeah, Jason Hall, you're nodding in the affirmative.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is an area that I care so passionately about. You know, when I left to go to public service originally with the governor back in 2009, this was an area I did a lot of work in for him on entrepreneurship and startup. And so even in my short tenure here now, being deeply involved with this issue, to see the leaps and bounds we've made on entrepreneurship, we are significantly overperforming in this area, and this is a great area to overperform in. I mean, back in 2009, I can remember joining, and our state was ranked 49th out of the 50 states for entrepreneurial activity, and now the world is talking about us, and they're looking at St. Louis as one of those shining beacons of hotbed of startups. So I'm excited about Monsanto and RGA and Boeing and many other exciting expansions. But I'm also wondering what's it hold for Lockerdome and Shipworks and Endostem and Food Essentials and all these exciting young companies that had successful capital raises that several years ago it seemed we were only dreaming about, and now we're really capturing our imagination and accelerating their growth in exciting new ways.
And one issue that kind of merges between innovation and politics, the transportation tax, as Alex mentioned. It's an open question of whether that gets to the ballot, but if it does, I think that'll be the most consequential statewide initiative, because just the idea that you'd have to pay more for some goods and services versus the amount of infrastructure that it would build, it's a stark choice.
Alex Heenan, how do you explain this entrepreneurial spirit that is taken hold here in St. Louis?
Well, I'm one that thinks that we haven't flipped a switch overnight and become this entrepreneurial hub, but what we do have are people like Jim McKelvey and some big names who are national figures who are now talking about St. Louis, and they're bringing some attention here. So, you know, on one hand, if we were ranked 49th and we were clearly underperforming, and these rankings can get silly, but it's nice to be on these lists of top five innovation centers, you know, fastest growing innovation centers. So, I mean, if you look at the raw numbers, we're not Silicon Valley, we're not Cambridge, we're not going to become those things. What we need to do, though, is find these innovation hubs, these, you know, the Monsanto, you know, what Monsanto does, the seed and life sciences and plant science and things like that. The tech startups can happen here. I mean, I think it's providing a new narrative to the city that we just were missing. And again, I don't think it's all that different than what we did in the past, but we have this new, you know, kind of attitude about the city. And that, I think, can have a huge, huge impact. I've been in the city for 10 years now, and you just get this narrative of kind of this downtrodden place. And sometimes, you know, however substantive it is, you need someone like a Jim McKelvey, other people just saying, hey, you know what? I'm from here, and this is a cool place, and cool things are happening. And if we change our attitude, we can change a lot of other things too.
We'll be talking with Jim McKelvey in just a moment. But Terry Jones, we've both been around for a long time, and Missouri and this part of the state has been very low for a great many years now. What is turning all of this around?
It's efforts that really started about 15 years ago. So we're seeing now the fruits of those. The whole development of Cortex, for example, in the Central West End. Getting Washington U, St. Louis U, SIUE, and UMSL more involved in the economic development mission of the region is another example. And then there's national trends. Central City's becoming attractive again to the millennials, and then that provided a spark. So we're now starting to benefit from a lot of good work that was done over the last 15 years.
And with organizations like IKEA and Whole Foods coming in, to go back to that scenario, and I have to take a break, I probably shouldn't start this, but what that's going to do is increase development around those places. I understand that people are talking about Central West End housing prices and apartment and condo prices going up as a result of this, because so much more is going to be coming into that area.
I think what people, you know, what we really overlook, and again, you hear those brand names, but the medical center, Barnes Jewish and Children's, announced they're spending $1 billion over the next 10 years. And it's something we wrote about on our site, and you kind of get crickets. You know, people kind of think, oh, okay, great, they're building. But that's the impact. And then the output of that is you get a Whole Foods three blocks away because they see that investment. And Cortex is bringing another $1 billion of investment in the city. So it's huge. I mean, it's transformative, and we can get impatient and hope it happens overnight. But big changes are coming.
Big changes are coming, and we're going to have to take a break now, but we'll come back and talk with the aforementioned Jim McKelvey, whose name has come up a couple of times already in the program. He'll be joining us by phone. He's in Sweden, as I understand it, but we have to take that break first. Back with Jim McKelvey in just a moment. Also with me in studios, Terry Jones, Jason Hall, Jason Rosenbaum, and Alex Enan. We'll get the conversation resumed in 60 seconds. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our conversation on looking ahead to the year 2014, which obviously has just begun. We have a long way to go, but a lot of subjects have already come up, indicating that this is an area that pretty much is on the move. Joining us now from Sweden is Jim McKelvey, who is well known in this area. He is the founder of Square, Inc., and Launch Code. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. Also, he is the founder of the Third Degree Glass Factory and here in St. Louis. Thanks so much for being with us, Jim. Your name has come up. Has come up a couple of times with regard to, you know, St. Louis being on the move. What is it that you see and have seen that has caused this surge that we seem to be experiencing in this area?
Well, you know, surge is sort of happening all across the spectrum. So we've got a great educated population. We've got great housing stock. We've got all those sort of raw materials. What we were missing were certain parts. We were missing some talent. We were missing some funding. And we were just sort of missing some inertia. So what's happened recently is you've seen a bunch of different initiatives from the accelerator programs and then funding programs through to just, you know, some companies that have gotten some success and have then, you know, turned around and paid it back. So the whole ecosystem is coming alive. So we see T-Rex and 630 and, you know, Launch Code and I'm leaving out a bunch of Arch Grants. Just there are a bunch of initiatives simultaneously that are energizing our whole ecosystem.
Just remind our audience, Jim, if you would, what Square and Launch Code are.
So Square is a company that I founded with another St. Louis and a friend of mine, Jack Dorsey, about 5 years ago. We started a payments company, and Square is now, you know, one of the dominant players in small merchant, you know, payments. So, you know, little credit card processing that you can do on your mobile device up through point of sale systems and payment systems that are used at large companies as well. So it's a pretty significant effort that was begun in our town and then quickly left because we couldn't get the engineering talent that we needed. So Launch Code, to answer the second part of your question, is sort of an effort that we're making to address that. What Launch Code is, it's a new program that places people in IT jobs. So in the St. Louis area, we probably have 5,000 open IT positions. We've talked to 100 companies so far that have agreed to basically change their hiring practices and allow us to place people with not traditional credentials into jobs. What this means is if you can do the work, even if you don't have the degree, we can get you a job at Monsanto or Express Scripts or MasterCard or any one of a dozen startups, or, you know, there are 100 employers. And what Launch Code is really trying to do is solve that talent gap. So Square moved out of town because we couldn't get the engineering talent. And what Launch Code is doing is we're bringing that talent. We're actually growing that talent in town. And the exciting thing that I have to announce is that starting on January 13th, down at the public library, we're going to be running a special class in conjunction with edX and Harvard University to teach programming. And this is basically the same class that's taught at Harvard. Will be done online through edX, and it's free. And people who complete this class will be basically ready for employment 4 months later. So it's a tough class, but literally you can go from almost no knowledge to a, you know, place where you're employably skilled in 4 months. And there's more information on that on the Launch Code website.
And we'll have more information, I'm sure, on St. Louis Public Radio in the days ahead as that happens. But let me get some reaction to those of who are in the studio with me here to that Launch Code. Jason Hall, let me start with you. This has got to be very exciting news for people like you and the rest of us here.
It is. In a knowledge economy, you've got to have a highly skilled workforce. That is how we are going to compete. And I think Jim is right. In order for either our entrepreneurs to stay in the region or others to come here, we've got to be able to have and supply a highly skilled and educated workforce. And that's why at the Chamber, one of our major initiatives as part of our strategic plan we announced last year is to be a top 10 region in the U.S. for college degree attainment, because so many things ripple from that single metric.
And Jason Rosenbaum, given you're, again, wearing your innovation hat, what's your reaction to this?
One of the things when Jim was talking was just this idea that some of the bigger companies kind of breed some of these smaller startup companies. For example, with the plant sciences industry, the fact that Monsanto is based here has caused a lot of smaller companies to emerge, not only around Monsanto, but the Danforth Plant Science Center, which is the largest independent plant science research center in the world. And that kind of also parlays with other big businesses that are here. And I think that's kind of why an initiative like that could find a lot of success, because IT is something that's needed by pretty much every company, and it's probably needed very much so by big companies.
Right. Thoughts, Alex?
I think what Jim says, and, you know, this announcement highlights the fact that we have the assets here, but you need someone. You literally sometimes need an individual. You need someone like Jim to pull these together and bring an idea here, and people latch onto it. I mean, we're not a place that's afraid of innovation or kind of stuck in past ways, but we need some of that energy. We need some of that, that innovation that people can go out and learn and bring back to St. Louis. So it's happening, and, you know, just like you said, it's part of an ecosystem. So we're growing just about everywhere.
Terry,
one of the most difficult. Go ahead, Jim.
I just like to underline the fact that this is really accessible stuff. I mean, you hear these things on the radio, and you say, "Well, how could I participate in that?" And the answer is, you know, if you're somebody that likes solving problems, if you've always sort of, you know, liked sort of, you know, math games and numbers, you may be a fantastic programmer. And the training these days is so good and so targeted that literally for free in 4 months, you can go from zero to a skill set where we can get your jobs with these companies. And that's an amazing thing. And a year ago, I couldn't have said that. We're indebted to the people at edX, you know, the Harvards and MITs who give away their courseware to make this happen. And it's amazing. I mean, it's literally life-changing. And I couldn't be happier that they're doing it, you know, for the first time in St. Louis.
Things move so quickly in this high-tech digital age. Terry, go ahead.
Indeed, one of the keys here is getting that first step on the ladder, which this effort does, this initiative does, Then we have the universities that can come in and help the individuals through efforts that, such as the Chamber is leading and St. Louis Graduates is involved in, to get them then up those that ladder and take advantage of the higher education resources that we have in the region.
Jim McKelvey, back to you. I saw a story recently that our own Tim Lloyd did here about you. He said you wanted to turn St. Louis into a Silicon Prairie. What does that mean? Or should I be asking him?
One solid sheet of glass. It's a term I didn't coin, but the idea here is that you have these, you know, Silicon Valley in California, Silicon Alley in New York, and the idea is, you know, we have the potential to create a similar thriving ecosystem based, you know, on technology, but basically, you know, get the spirit of entrepreneurship back into the town. It's not like all these beautiful buildings around St. Louis weren't built by entrepreneurs. They were just built 100 years ago. And those people made so much money that, you know, most of their kids, you know, just inherited wealth and didn't do anything with it. So, you know, we've now sort of run through that, and a lot of those companies are dead. And we need some new blood. And so we're trying to bring that life back into the city, and we're seeing signs of it all over the place.
We've been hearing for a long time that St. Louis and Missouri, in many ways, overall, has something of an inferiority complex. Is that changing?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, so what? Just get over that. If I think what we have more as a problem regionally is this idea that failure is a showstopper. In Silicon Valley, the attitude to failure is very accepting. You can blow it up, and nobody cares. And in St. Louis, we tend to be a little more conservative. And I think that goes back to, again, you know, sort of the way the wealth in St. Louis has been redistributed or has been distributed was, you know, inheritance. And if you inherit money, your job is basically not to lose it. But if you earn it yourself, you can be very irresponsible, as many of my friends are. And it's a lot of fun to create stuff. So, you're seeing this, new sort of, catalytic response with people going out and creating new things. And if some of them don't work, that's okay. And we need more of that attitude, this idea that, you know, we experiment, we try, and if it doesn't work, we try again.
What about the role of social media in all of this?
Oh, I think it's a tremendous, accelerator. The wonderful thing about ideas these days is that they spread so fast. So in the old days, you could have a great idea, but if you didn't get that idea out through the right channels, no one would know about it. These days, a great idea permeates the world almost instantaneously, and therefore you can really be judged on the quality of your ideas, not necessarily, you know, your connections to, you know, the right media outlets, although we do appreciate KWMU.
Thank you so very much. You mentioned Jack Dorsey a couple of moments ago. He, of course, co-founded Twitter and was co-founder of you with Square. I've been reading recently that Facebook is maybe facing some problems ahead because young people all of a sudden seem to be turning away from it and going more to Twitter and Instagram and that sort of thing. Do you think something like Facebook, which has been so prominent, is in any danger of, you talk about things imploding and things moving quickly in this high-tech world. Your thoughts on that?
I don't think Facebook's in any danger. They've got tremendous network effect, which is a huge lock-in. I mean, their demographic's going to morph because, you know, kids don't want their parents reading what they're up to. So you're going to see things like Snapchat and, to a lesser extent, Twitter. And then you're going to see new networks. Lockerdome, which is a St. Louis company, you know, has built a real, niche in sports. And we're seeing a lot of growth there. So one of the things that Facebook and Twitter do is they accelerate the rate at which information changes hands, and that acceleration then just, you know, morphs into different channels. So you're going to continue to see, you know, split offs, but I don't think you're going to see either of the majors die.
And one thing I wanted to add is that, you know, what I do at Next STL is really, I mean, it's based on social media and getting the word out and building a new narrative about St. Louis. And, you know, what Twitter has allowed us to do is change people's minds about the city. You know, we highlight, whether just through simple photos or links to stories, we're not doing it overnight, and we're not doing it with as many people yet as we'd like, but we're changing the narrative about the city. And where people, you know, an older generation, my grandmother still calls when crime rankings come out, and that's fine. But, you know, most of my friends and colleagues and things like that are seeing parts of the city virtually through Twitter and Instagram and our website that they have never visited, that they didn't know existed, that they didn't know were vibrant, that they didn't know, you know, they wouldn't have explored otherwise. So I think we're changing the story. So it's fun.
Jim McKelvey, before we let you go, I know your time is limited. What will you be watching in this region most closely over the next 12 months?
Well, I want to see how we're able to get the new talent at LaunchCode. That's my main focus. My concern is that a lot of people who could be in these jobs don't know they could be in these jobs. So my main message and work is going to be focused on getting that word out. Because unfortunately, a lot of people have been told that, you know, they need to, you know, start when they're 10 or have some sort of crazy academic credentials, and the fact is it's just not true. So that's what I'm going to be doing. What I'm going to be looking for are, you know, just signs of experimental successes. I love the fact that IKEA is coming. You know, I love the fact that we've got new, you know, new enterprises popping up all the time. I just want to see a couple of those succeed, and then I want to see the recirculation of the entrepreneurs and the top people from those companies, you know, repeat the cycle.
Well, IKEA may be coming to St. Louis, but it sounds like Jim McKelvey has gone to IKEA currently in Sweden, as you are. We want to thank you so much, Jim.
That's at 3 p.m.
It's at 3 p.m. Jim McKelvey, thanks so much for being with us, and congratulations on all that you've done and all that you are doing. It's been great for this community and great for an awful lot of people. Thank you so much.
Well, Don, thank you so much, and congratulations to you and all your guests.
Great. Have a good stay in Sweden. Before we take another break, I'd like to bring in a couple of listeners who have been very patiently listening to the program thus far and want to get into it. So let's bring in Randy from St. Louis. Randy, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to just point out that I think a trend that should not be ignored is the relatively recent uptick in creative entrepreneurs, artists, and musicians who are making St. Louis and specifically St. Louis City their home by choice. Making streets such as Cherokee Street kind of a national model of grassroots urban revitalization. And I think it's this kind of trending that is really making cities across the country attractive and bolstering the environment to attract bigger employers that who could really make a major, major impact on the local economy. And I think St. Louis is really well poised to be a leader in that, because it's relatively inexpensive to hone your craft here, have a nice house, live in a great urban environment without a lot of the drawbacks of living in some of the more expensive coastal cities.
Randy,
just
thanks.
Just wanted to make a comment.
Thanks so much for the call. And Jason Hall, this is something that is oftentimes overlooked, but the arts community brings in an awful lot of money to this area, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And this is a community. So we have such a rich history, I think, of supporting the arts, the visual and performing arts. And so it is an important part of our fabric. And we should remember, and we do, when we are communicating both internally to the business community in our region, although they typically are aware, but to the outside world when we're bringing new corporate citizens here, about the arts and the creativity, it usually falls under the label the quality of life. And when people live in an environment where they can choose where to live, where to start a business, and we have to compete, we have to lean forward with those kind of quality of life characteristics, because that's where entrepreneurs and others will choose to live, where we can offer those amenities.
One more call before we take a break. Let's bring in Eric from University City. Go ahead, Eric.
Some great people, great show, Don. People really make the difference, and guys like McKelvey, Jerry Schlichter, the founder of Locker Dome, those folks are doing fantastic work. But I want to connect the dots on the Missouri Historic Tax Credit and Metrolink. It's these kinds of assets, Missouri Historic Tax Credits, rebuilding downtown where T-Rex is, 100 buildings, 5,000 new residents. CEOs for cities said we had the largest increase in a central business district of any community of college graduates. And Metrolink, who's attracting people here, a young woman who could go any place in the world, was recruited by BJC. She said, "This is better than San Diego. I could live in Skinker to Bolivar, take the train to work. My husband can go to the plant center. We'd have one fewer car." It's those kind of amenities in our community really working together in coalitions and with these young people who are really making a difference. That's really going to change the city, that we have great opportunities. Eric, thanks for the show.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. And any thoughts on that? I can't imagine anybody's at this table is going to disagree.
No, but I think what highlights both of those calls highlight that change is coming to St. Louis and significant change. And what's going to determine to a large extent our future success is how we adapt to that. So I was commenting off air that the second thing I heard after people being excited about IKEA coming was, oh, the traffic's going to be terrible. You know, so are we going to invest in transit? Are we going to allow a 12-story building with less parking than we would like? I mean, these questions that we haven't had to deal with for decades are coming, and they're coming fast. And so we need to be ready for it. And it's going to be painful for some. I mean, St. Louis is going to change like it hasn't changed in half a century. So it's going to be exciting, and it's fun to cover, and it's fun to watch. But it's going to be challenging.
I have to take another break. But Terry Jones, I want to get some input from you on this because change is coming, but change has always been slow to come to this area. It's a slow-moving process.
We need to realize that over the last 100 years, we were the victim of our own successes and being dominated by large corporations and very successful large corporations, but it took us about 20 to 30 years to realize that those are no longer the drivers of the economy and that we need to go small, and we're now playing small ball very well.
Okay, let me take that break now. We'll come back and we'll be talking with Michael McMillan, President and CEO of the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis, as we continue our conversation on looking ahead to the year 2014 and what it might mean for our community. You just heard from Terry Jones, a professor of political science at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Also with me in studio is Jason Hall, Vice President for Business Development at the St. Louis Regional Chamber. Jason Rosenbaum is the innovation reporter and political reporter for St. Louis Public Radio on the Beacon, and also with us in studio is, who am I forgetting? Alex Heenan. How could I forget Alex? He is the editor of NextSTL.com.
He's unforgettable.
He is unforgettable. I feel like Nat King Cole here is going to start singing any moment. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation about the year 2014. We're going to bring into the conversation now Michael McMillan, President and CEO of the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis. Michael, are you with us?
Yes.
Thanks for being so. We're looking ahead to this year and have been asking folks throughout this past hour what they are be looking at and for during 2014. From your perspective at the Urban League, what will that be for you?
Well, Don, thank you for having me, first of all, and Happy New Year to you, the
Same
panel,
you.
And your listeners. And it's good to be with you again. As you know from the last time I was on your show, we are in the process of completing our five-year strategic plan for our 100th anniversary, and we are engaging the community in consistent conversations about what we need to be doing as a league and as an organization, who we need to collaborate with, and are compiling all of that data and looking forward to announcing it at our annual dinner in March. And there are many of the things that have already been talked about by the panel and the people that have called in terms of the issues that we have to focus on, from education to economic development, crime prevention, and overall diversity and inclusion and participation of all of the various elements of society in our different decision-making processes.
You know, you mentioned that, and I knew you would, but we had an email from Edward, who was also anticipating it, saying that inclusion and recognition of the area's diversity is an extremely important thing. And you know, this has been an ongoing issue and an ongoing discussion, Michael, for a good long while now. How much change has there actually been in the acceptance of the need for recognizing the diversity and inclusion that's so important to any community?
Well, I think a significant amount of progress has been made, but obviously organizations like the Urban League continue to make sure that diversity and inclusion and the involvement of African Americans, people of color, women, poor whites, and people of all ethnic groups and the LGBT community are at the forefront of the conversation in terms of the decisions that we make and how we make ourselves a more welcoming region to immigrants and people from all over the country and the world who would want to come here and live, and people that we would love to have come here and live.
You know, I'm going to bring other folks into this conversation. Michael, Terry Jones, let me turn to you on this particular issue.
The leadership of St. Louis, unlike the leadership 30 years ago, is very much convinced and committed to diversity and understands not it's simply the social justice right thing to do, it's the economic progress right thing to do. But we still have a problem with the followership, that part of the population that votes on things and determines a lot of our policies. And so we still have a ways to go in order to reach the type of understanding of diversity and acceptance of diversity and in the embracement of diversity that we need as a region.
Jason Hall, you know, this is such an important issue because we have heard it time and again that there are many folks who are aware of the kind of polarization that has been existing here in St. Louis for a long time and that has kept a lot of people from coming to this community, businesses and individuals.
Yeah, and it is a critically important issue, both from the workforce development, having the talent. You know, it is statistically true that foreign-born immigrants are more likely to start businesses on average, and so it plays into a lot of things. It's also part of our population growth strategy. So we at the Chamber and our collection of and group of civic leaders that we represent are leaning forward. This is one of just three targeted strategies we are pursuing for winning the future is around economic inclusion and talent attraction. And it is our goal to make St. Louis, working with all of our partners, to make it the most welcoming community that folks can have. And whether that's foreign-born citizens or people along other dimensions of diversity, that they are included here and welcome here in the St. Louis region.
Michael McMillan, what are some of the other challenges that you see facing this community in the year ahead?
Well, obviously, we have a significant challenge when it comes to urban education, not only in the city of St. Louis and East St. Louis, but also in certain parts of the county as well now. And that is an issue that the Urban League and the Chamber and all of the different institutions that have a vested interest in the success of this region have to be very engaged in so that we can have a competent, qualified, capable workforce for the jobs of the future. And, of course, crime prevention has been an issue. We have too much crime that is happening in the community, too much murder, and all of the negative impacts that come along with that. And all of us have a role and responsibility in trying to make a difference to give the young people who are unfortunately finding themselves in situations that have caused this crime to have different opportunities and different ways that they can conduct their lives.
Thoughts on that gentleman at the table?
Well,
Jason Rosenbaum.
Yeah. Well, first of all, as far as the crime aspect, that's obviously a huge issue throughout people who live in St. Louis City. I think one thing that'll be interesting to see from a policy perspective is this will be the first full year of quote unquote local control of the St. Louis Police Department, which means the mayor's office essentially will be running the police department as opposed to a state board. And it'll remain to be seen whether Chief Dotson and the officials there are able to combat this crime problem more effectively now that this control is not from a state board but is now more localized. That'll be one aspect, but you know, this is in many respects still a divided city, both by race and socioeconomic status. And I don't know if we're going to completely eradicate that in 2014, but I know, as Terry mentioned, there are a lot of leaders of all sides and all parties who definitely are interested in tackling that issue.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly add that, you know, we're I think moving to see diversity as more than black and white, and that's very difficult in a city that's 50-50, you know, African-American residents and white residents, you know, very close to 50-50. But any city you see that's has a division like that, race is a very prominent issue and a very prominent problem. So, but I think if we're looking at, you know, Hispanic immigrants, we're looking at Southeast Asian immigrants, we're looking, I mean, it's a very diversified region in the city as well as the county. And very quickly on crime, I'm always compelled to say that, you know, St. Louis is about the 100th most dangerous metro area in the country. It's not a dangerous place. People who are moving here for work, people who are moving here to work at Monsanto, any suburban location, but most of the city, it's an incredibly safe place to be. So, and I know there's some efforts underway to kind of readdress how those statistics are used and compiled and listed and that kind of thing. So, and by no means can anyone say we don't have a crime problem, but Indianapolis has a crime problem, Columbus has a crime problem, but very few places are forced to obsess over it like we are. So I hope that, you know, the good news, and whether it's the entrepreneurial lists or these kind of things that are happening, again, are kind of changing that narrative a little bit.
Well, as I always note, and as others note when they talk about crime statistics, yes, maybe the crime statistics are trending downward, but if you're a victim of a crime, statistics don't matter. And I think that that's the kind of view of a lot of people around the city.
Michael McMillan, we had a guest on the program the other day that was lamenting the amount of publicity that this BBC film, The Del Mar Divide, has received. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. No one is denying that there is a divide, but what are your thoughts about that kind of publicity and its impact on places outside of St. Louis?
Well, it's obviously extremely negative in terms of our perception, both nationally and internationally. And diversity, as was just stated, is definitely more than black and white. And I think the reason why it has been difficult to get beyond the black and white conversation is because we haven't fixed the black part of the diversity and inclusion portion yet, because it's not an automatic that we have African-Americans included in the process in all levels of government and corporate and civic life. And until we do that, it will be difficult to have the conversation to be as full as it can be. But the Urban League is definitely ready to partner with any entity to make sure that we do fix those issues, whether it's just for African-Americans, other people of color, low to moderate income people of any race, women, and the LGBT community.
Do you see anything on the horizon over the next months that would cause this to change in any way?
Well, I think that, as was stated earlier, many of the leaders of this community realize the fact that it's not only the right thing to do, but it's also a good thing for business, and it's a good thing to bring people here, because the most diverse cities in the country are the most successful cities, and the ones that have the best reputation for welcoming people from every walk of life are the ones that have the most people and the most vibrancy in the places that people wish to go. I don't see anything immediately that's going to turn the whole situation around, but I think that all of us making a consistent and concerted effort to make sure that diversity and inclusion are at the forefront of every conversation, whether it comes to staff, whether it comes to management, when it comes to contracts, when it comes to people on boards of directors, when it comes to people in public office, that if we continue to make sure that that conversation stays at the forefront of all of our mouths as we talk about how we need to move forward, then I think you will begin to see concrete changes happening beyond just management and top-level conversations.
Yeah. And Don, I was going to say, along those lines, I think, you know, when we talk about 14, I think building off the success of the Mosaic Project in St. Louis, which really put a brand around what we are doing as a region to welcome foreign-born citizens. Also, right before this lunchtime discussion, I came from the St. Louis Minority Business Council, and we're going to be collaborating together to launch an exciting new accelerator for minority-owned firms in the St. Louis region to help accelerate the growth of those firms, which we think helps go towards the challenges of inclusion and will make us a stronger and more prosperous region because of it.
Terry Jones, we've had this conversation, though, for a long time. It comes up year after year after year.
Well, the city is going to be celebrating its 250th birthday this year. For 200 of those years, we need to remind ourselves, we either had slavery or Jim Crow segregation. So we've only had something other than that for the last 50 years. If you're under 50, you don't appreciate that history. And even if you're over 50, you don't fully appreciate it. We need to realize that while we've made progress and are continuing to make progress, we have a very steep hill to climb or a very big hole to fill in, and we're going to have to work very hard at it over the next 10 to 20 years in order to succeed.
I'm so glad you mentioned the 250th anniversary, because that is certainly something that is going to be filling a lot of time for all of us during the course of the next 12 months. Michael McMillan, do you see that anniversary and the attendant celebrations as an opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. I applaud the efforts that have been made by Tom Voss and his group so far, and am proud to be one of the collaborators with the STL 250 organization, and am proud of the work that they have done thus far and the agenda and the mission and the kind of diversity and inclusion that they have in mind to try to have us to also focus on the positives of our region. St. Louis has so many things to be proud of and so many things to be thankful and grateful for. So we need to focus on that as well as acknowledge our problems and try to come up with a plan for the future where we can solve some of these issues and be the best region that we can possibly be.
Well, Michael McMillan, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We reached the end of our times, and your most recent comments are certainly a good way to end this particular discussion as we have been talking about what lies ahead for the community in the year 2014. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank our other guest, Terry Jones from the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week. We'll be talking about the legislature. Alex Enan of NextSDL.com, thank you. Good to see you again. Jason Hall of the Regional Chamber, thank you for being with us. And Jason Rosenbaum of the St. Louis Public Radio and The Beacon, thank you for being with us. Been a very fast hour. Enjoyed it. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Thanks.
Join Jim Kircher tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk with young composer Stephanie Berg, whose work will be performed by the St. Louis Symphony next week with members of the Shades of Yale a cappella vocal ensemble, about their St. Louis performances and about the band Sleepy Kitty's involvement in a laser show at the St. Louis Planetarium. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Jeremy Bailey, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.